broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios inside the Decoy in Spring Branch.
Don't sweat the technique.
It's the Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of the Killer Bees.
Now bring you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio. Here's Joel Blank and Brian McDonald. Wait, where's Jeremy?
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's the Killer Bees, and yes, your favorite is back. None, no worries at all. Your favorite bee is in the hive. That's me, Joel Blank, along with Brian McDonald. And the one that gets on your nerves is doing U of H basketball. And he's having a good time doing it.
As that is quite the heat check to assume for everyone that
it's a no-brainer. Okay. I mean, come on.
So now, for the people who don't know, you're off yesterday to enjoy a nice spring break trip with your kids at the zoo. Did you and the family have a fun time at the zoo? I know it's a little bit of a costly time at the zoo. But
it can be quite a cash grab, but I will say this. I had heard, this is my first time ever to the Houston Zoo except for Zoo Lights.
Wait, hold on. You've never been to the zoo?
No.
Really?
Only for Zoo Lights.
You've
been there for
since
Zoo Lights.
Early 90s?
Yeah, and most of the exhibits are closed down at night for Zoo Lights. You
right.
just go in. So I had never been during the day, and
wow.
and Lisa had done multiple shoots and shows from the zoo with Channel 2, and so she was like, you do know that the one guy that they interview across the country that's like a big animal expert said that the Houston Zoo is one of the top zoos in the country. I was like, I always heard San Diego's
supposed to be really
good. Omaha, maybe?
That I don't know. I haven't been to a lot of them. I've been to zoos in, obviously here, San Antonio, New Orleans, Dallas. And I would say Houston, of those four at least, definitely has the best one.
And it's because San Diego used to be...
San Diego's supposed to be really
number
good.
Number one, like,
I
head and shoulders.
That. Yeah.
But I was very impressed with
it's
Houston
huge.
Zoo.
Yeah.
And the fact that they have... It's not just like one or two. Like in Milwaukee growing up, they had Samson, who was this... unbelievably massive gorilla, but it was just Samson. Like, there's six gorillas.
Is the zoo in Wisconsin open year round? I thought
in Milwaukee.
I just assumed for some of the animals, obviously,
the Milwaukee Zoo was pretty highly rated for a while too. But like, they have, it's not just like an animal here, an animal there. Like, there's multiple giraffes and you know all the and the outdoor, like the lions.
Oh yeah,
and
it's
the gorillas.
Huge. They've got a huge exhibit. Yeah,
and there was like one clowning out in each area.
Yeah. Usually the lions, at least when I go there, they're always sleeping right in front of the giant
one of
window.
One sleeping on his back.
Yeah, so you can always see one. They're always right there by the window,
like he was doing a centerfold calendar.
Almost.
Like,
yeah,
and then
almost.
One gorilla was on his back with all fours in the air.
Oh yeah,
crossed his legs for the people and whatever. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah, there's some showboats there for sure.
Definitely a very cool experience at the zoo and a lot to see and do. So we had a good time. The girls had a great time. So then we got there early. So that was the good part because not thinking, you know, it's spring break.
Oh, man, it's going to be.
We walked out at 1:45.
Okay.
And it's clearly there's a separation line, entrance, exit. They had to have multiple security people because the line was almost a mile long to get in.
Oh, yeah.
And people were trying to get in the exit. And they were grabbing people left and right going, no, you got to wait in line. They're like, what if I paid online? What if I did this? They're like, no. And they're going, we got to go all the way back there at the end of the line to get in. And people were blowing it off. And I think you pay like and have to specify what day you're going.
Yeah, not only do you have to specify what day, but you have to specify what time because they try to like make it to where they're not letting too many people in at once. You have like set times where you're supposed to be there. Yeah, if you don't go, obviously you hadn't been to the zoo outside of Zoo Lights, but if you go at the wrong time, the lines can be, especially during spring break. Are you kidding me?
It
can be outrageous.
Ridiculous how long that line was yesterday. And we were walking back to our car, and we parked quite a ways away.
Yeah,
and
there's
we were like,
almost never any choice but to do anything but that.
I've never gone
to the zoo and been glad of where I parked. It's always like, holy crap, I'm going to have to walk a half a mile at least.
Yeah, it was absolutely crazy, but we had a good time, and the girls learned a lot, saw a lot, so it was cool.
All right, so, I'm sure you kept up with some of the news while you were out yesterday. I think the biggest Texans news that we'll start with and give you a chance to weigh in since you didn't get to give your thoughts and opinions on it yesterday, but the Texans, and it's just now been completed official, but Malik Collins projected, I think we all thought, to be a starter along the Texans' defensive line. And he's now been traded away. The Texans got back a seventh-round pick from the 49ers and saved, according to Texans Cap on Twitter, about $2.5 million on this year's salary cap. Your thoughts on the deal to trade away Malik Collins?
Well, the thing to me was that is a precursor to something else. And so then once I saw that,
once we got back to the house and I started scouring around a little bit, then, you know, I saw that Armstead was still free and that nothing had been done. And then I saw that there were several teams that wanted to be in on him. And then I saw that it was a proposed trade that fell apart, and I'm going.
Apparently initially it was going to be, and I saw this from Aaron Wilson. You're right. They were initially proposing a one for one trade,
right,
of McCollum,
which would have been great.
Yeah,
because much like the deal they made with Cincinnati with Mixon, it would have been a deal where you take competition out of it. You don't have to overpay.
Right.
You know what the salary is going to be, and I'll take that trade as a Texans win every day, all day. If you say Armstead over Collins, I'm in. So I see the fact that Rankins gets away. Then I see the fact that you traded away Collins. And I'm going, this has to mean Armstead's coming and you're going to have one beast of a defensive line. And then I see, well, the trade fell through. He's going to be a free agent. And now I see the other teams being involved in it going, now here's the problem. If you're taking a risk and you're looking for the reward, if you didn't get that trade done, you had to realize there's a chance Armstead could go somewhere else. Then what do? I know you signed the guy from Jacksonville that might, you know, he's a run stopper. Maybe that's enough, but I would think there's something else there. Now when you start watching it less than 24 hours later and you see Detroit is signing DJ Reader, Cincinnati got their guy in Rankins. Those were two of the main teams that were in on Armstead as well. So now there might be one other team.
I've seen the Bills and the Titans apparently both have interest. But, yeah, I definitely think there has to be another move because – I mean, I think everyone was at least decently satisfied with Malik Collins' play. It wasn't like he was.
I was.
It wasn't like he was a glaring weakness or a glaring hole on their roster. And you can't. I can't see the Texans investing as much as they have in the other three starting defensive linemen with Danico Autry, Danielle Hunter, and obviously Will Anderson Jr. I can't see them investing that much in the other three defensive linemen to just put in some scrub. No offense to the guy they got from Jacksonville,
right,
but to put in some scrub for that four starter. So I agree with you. I put this idea to Jeremy. He was a little lukewarm on it yesterday. Let's see what you think about it. But if they don't make the move for Armstead, how would you feel? And maybe this is not a scheme fit, but I'm going to do it anyway because Hook'em, shout out to Sean Mapes on the board as well right now. But what would you think about the Texans making the move to maybe draft Tavondre Sweat in the second round? But especially since you're looking at the defense line. Danielle Hunter's a prototypical size defensive end, but Will Anderson Jr., a little bit undersized. Danico Autry, especially for defensive tackle, a little bit undersized.
Right.
I think it makes a lot of sense to put a big guy like Tavondre Sweat, who out of Texas, 365 pounds, to be a guy who could take up multiple blocks, take up multiple gaps, and allow the freedom from the other guys to not have to worry about the run as much and get up the field.
I like it. I liked him at the Senior Bowl. And everybody would say, well, he didn't weigh in. That could be a problem. Then I saw him absolutely pancaking people going, I don't care what he weighs as a defensive lineman. I care what he can do destructively. And what he was showing me was like, there's a guy that you could develop for a long haul and say he could be a big, big piece of your defensive line. So I'd be all for that. I just look at it and I say, you better have plan B.
There has to be.
In case Armstead gets away. Because with Armstead, that might be the best defensive line in football with what the Chargers have had to do, with what the Niners had to do to break up a lot of their guys. The fact that those were two arguably of the best defensive lines, maybe Baltimore's in that mix.
Yeah, and they brought back Matabike, so yeah. They got their big guys still there. Yeah, I think even as it stands now, even without, you know, Eric Armstead or whoever takes up that second defensive tackle spot, it's still got to be a defensive line that is, you know, top five, I would say.
I think.
But, yeah, if you get Eric Armstead or another suitable guy that is a plus, you know, a plus at that position, then, yeah, the defensive line could certainly skyrocket to the top of the league. So you mentioned Sheldon Rankins. I don't know if you saw this report from Aaron Wilson, but apparently before Rankins ended up signing with Cincinnati, the Texans had offered $12 million.
They were a million apart.
A million. That, look, maybe D'Amico Ryans, after the year, one of the first things he said is they have to prove the defensive front. So
right.
maybe you know, you think, okay, he's not happy with Sheldon Rankin's play, but clearly they had to be at least a little bit happy. They offered him $12 million a year. I don't know about how you feel about this, but when I initially saw that report from Aaron Wilson, I was a little miffed for them to let Sheldon Rankins walk away over $1 million per
year.
Well,
look.
I get maybe it doesn't fit your value perfectly, but if you're willing to offer 12, why wouldn't you offer 13?
But the way I look at it is, if you're telling me that you were going to get Armstead, so therefore you were going to pass on Rankins, that's one thing. But if you're not sure you're getting Armstead and you could get Rankins.
Which seems to be the case because otherwise they wouldn't have made the offer.
Then I'm like, okay, I get it. Like, this is exactly what DeMeco was talking about. I need to upgrade my defensive line. And as good as Rankins was, I truly believe that Armstead is better. So if that's the case, then I totally get, hey, no hard feelings. I love what you did here in the year that you were here, but I'll move on. But the fact that they were willing to move on and they haven't secured a guy to replace him is a little bit worrisome to me. And the fact that they were bidding for him meant that I don't know if they were trying to, if they would still have traded Collins, if they'd have just said, hey, we'll take the guys we got, we added what we needed, we're good, or if they still would have made the move to trade Collins if you had gotten a deal with Rankins.
Yeah, it's a calculated risk by Nick Caserio because, I mean, obviously, if they get Eric Armstead or if they find a guy they like in the draft, maybe there's a name we're not thinking about, then, you know, everything's forgiven and it doesn't end up mattering.
Well, you get the guy from Illinois and you get the two guys from Texas.
Yeah, Johnny Newton. I think Byron Murphy, I think we're all in agreement.
He's going to be gone.
He's going to be gone before the draft gets to 23 with the Texans pick. But Tavondre Sweat, I haven't seen anyone with a first-round grade on him, but he would certainly be available. Byron Murphy would be off the board. Johnny Newton, you mentioned, he would be there as well, it seems like, for most mock drafts and projections. But it's a calculated risk by Nick Caserio. We'll see how it pans out because going into the draft now, I know one of Jeremy's big things is, or has been, like, don't go into the draft with any glaring needs in your defensive starters. Right now, they've got two of them on the defense, arguably a third, depending on what you think of Jimmy Ward. But certainly, they need a starting corner, and you need a starting defensive tackle next to DeNico Autry, and that leaves them, I think, a little bit vulnerable as far as other teams knowing exactly what they need and then maybe jumping in front of them if the opportunity arises.
And here's the other thing that I'm thinking about, BMAC, looking at all this, is if you say what we heard DeMeco say going into the offseason, but then you say, hey, if you're DeMeco, ideally you want to have guys you're familiar with. If you could tell me, good, bad, or indifferent, I could put Jimmy Ward in the back of my secondary. I could put El Shaair at linebacker.
Right.
And I could put Armstead in the middle of my defensive line.
Guys that know his system.
And I have a pass rusher. I added another pass rusher and maybe two other pass rushers I've added. Now, aside from the opposite corner and whatever you do at nickel, DeMeco's got something he can work with because they all know his system and they're familiar with him. He's familiar with them. And you know that there's going to be a lot of continuity there. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, no, there's – I mean, it's hard not to look at the Houston Texans offseason and not be excited. And I don't know what you have left on the Collins-Rakin situation, but I think what we should get into next is how we feel about the Texans compared to when the season ended. You want to carry that conversation
over
to the other side?
Yeah, so if you guys have any comments and feedback, what they've done so far, where you think that they are as opposed to last year, and how you feeling about your Houston Texans, 713-780-3776. You can call that number. You can text that number. You can get us via X or Twitter, which is at SackedByBMAC, at Pac-Man Joel with the K. Much more coming up on the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
Five. Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at the Decoy in Spring Branch. Here's the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Brian McDonald.
Well, unfortunately, and I won't be the bearer of bad news, I will blame it on text message ending in 7584, who was the first
passing the buck
to report to us that Aaron Wilson was reporting to the world that Eric Armstead is signing with the Jacksonville Jaguars in the division. And that sucks, but after further review, BMAC and I did a little research during the break and found multiple outlets and individuals reporting it's a done deal between Armstead and the Jags. And honestly, Brian, that sucks because the thought of putting that defensive line together with him as the anchor in the middle was really fun to think about.
Yeah, no, like we talked about last segment, I mean, the Texans, the silver lining is the Texans' defensive line is still going to be really, 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 really good, even without Eric Armstead. But it could have been the piece that elevated them from really, really good top five defensive line to maybe the best defensive line in all of football. And obviously it stings doubly as much with him going into the division to the Jacksonville Jaguars. What I find interesting, and I don't think we're going to get – I'm not sure if we'll get an answer to it. Armstead, obviously we talked in the last segment that there was potentially a deal in place between the 49ers, and Diana Rossini tweeted about this moments ago. There was a deal in place to send Collins to the Niners, and he eventually got traded there anyway, but in a one-for-one trade for Eric Armstead, but it fell apart. Then Armstead, once that fell apart and he officially got released, was in talks with the Bills and the Titans, and then eventually signed the deal with the Jaguars. So it got me to thinking, and I don't know where you fall in on this, and maybe we won't get the official answer, but it seems like it's possible Armstead just didn't want to be here, because if the deal falls apart, I can only think it would fall apart for one of two reasons. Either Armstead didn't want to come here, or the 49ers didn't like the compensation, but clearly they liked the compensation because they still traded for Malik Collins after the deal fell apart. So if they liked the compensation, which would seem to be the case, it seems to suggest that maybe Armstead didn't want to be here.
Let me throw you one more.
Okay.
Because his contract, he wanted to renegotiate it. He wanted an extension. It could be that his agent is obviously talking to all the teams that could possibly be in. And if the Texans, who are known to not want to do any kind of big long-term deals, and three is normally too much for them, say he wanted three, they wanted to give him two, and he could find three somewhere else at the money he wanted. Money matters.
Yeah, that
it could
that,
be something like that.
That could be the reason why he didn't want to be here, certainly. But, I mean, we've seen the Texans do a deal, I guess it was just last year, where they eventually then negotiated a new contract. I mean, obviously Shaq Mason, they traded for him, got him here for the Bucks to play right guard, and then immediately gave him like a three-year deal.
Yeah.
So it's not something that Nick Caserio hasn't done before.
Well, but the money matters.
Money matters, yeah. That might be the reason why. I think I'm on the side that it seems like Armstead didn't want to be here, but the reason might be what you said. It might be because the agents talked behind the scenes with the Texans at Caserio and realized they were too far apart on a new deal. That might be the reason.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing to me that I would go against Armstead not wanting to be here, it seems like it's just too easy of a good thing if you say he had success under DeMeco. DeMeco's not a tough guy to get along with to where you would think that there was a problem. And the fact that he not only was signing up for a team on the rise with a coach that he knows, with a scheme that he's comfortable with, and talented players around him, but that, you know, the fact that he had guys around him that could make his job easier, probably make him more money in the process, and he would be going to another winning squad, that's tough for me to walk away from.
Yeah, no, there's all the signs in the world point to exactly what you're saying and point to the idea that he would want to be here. Obviously, going to Jacksonville, though, you do get to play next to Josh Allen, another very talented pass rusher, so certainly he does have some help there. And the Jaguars have a quarterback in place. We can obviously debate how good Trevor Lawrence is, but they're still a playoff caliber team, even though they didn't make the playoffs this last year. They fell apart after an 8-3.
I don't know where you are on Lawrence. I'm just not bought in yet. I mean, Jeremy, I know, is a big fan of his, but when I watch him, yeah, he can make some good throws, but overall, just as a quarterback, like, I think Stroud's better. I think Stroud.
I agree with that.
I think the overall package you get from Stroud and all the different tools that he brings to the table that he can do, from touch to the deep ball, the accuracy, the athleticism, all that stuff. I just think that there's something missing for a guy that was supposed to be such a can't-miss project when he went number one overall.
Yeah, that's the weird thing is I think we still see the flashes with Trevor Lawrence. It's not like he's Bryce Young, right? Bryce Young showed zero flashes the entire rookie year. And obviously with Trevor Lawrence, you do have to start with, you know, he spent his rookie year with Urban Meyer and how much that derailed his development. I still see the flashes of the number one overall pick that Trevor Lawrence was, but he's far too inconsistent for a guy that was the number one overall pick. I would definitely take C.J. Stroud over him, but I don't see it as impossible that Trevor Lawrence, another year in the new offensive system, couldn't get to where he's a top 10 quarterback.
But look at it, B-Mac. Look at it this way,
too. I wouldn't bet on it, but I see it as possible.
But, like, I'm looking at it and I'm thinking about the problems that they had even last year, right? And they were talking about Ridley. And you're looking at Ridley, and he is having issues and going back to the huddle talking at Lawrence. Lawrence pointing at him. Them looking at, and it's like, well, it's either the quarterback is not throwing it where it's supposed to be or the receiver's not running the route he's supposed to run. Regardless, Tennessee felt good enough about Ridley to give him a monster deal. And you start thinking about it kind of when we start using deductive reasoning. It's not the first time that Trevor Lawrence has missed receivers, has on timing routes, been a little bit off schedule, where you look at it and go, at some point, whether the truth lies exactly with the receivers or if it's somewhere in the middle, I think he's got an issue sometimes putting the ball where it needs to go. And that's a problem that we don't see with C.J. Stroud.
No, yeah, and again, I would certainly take C.J. Stroud, you know, 7 days, 6 days a week, twice on Sunday over Trevor Lawrence. But we didn't see some of the same issues with Trevor Lawrence connecting with Evan Ingram. We didn't see the same issues with him connecting with Christian Kirk before right. Christian Kirk got right. hurt. So I do think, especially for Calvin Ridley being out of football for a year and a half, I tend to think that it was more Ridley.
Yeah, maybe, I saw him quitting that dog a couple of times in Ridley that I was I was not happy with.
Maybe that I'm not trying to come off as a Trevor Lawrence apologist, but I do lean the side that it's more Ridley. And two, like as to why the Titans would then turn around and give Calvin Ridley that contract, which if you missed it, 4 years, $92 million, $50 million guaranteed,
that is a
which.
Lot.
I'll definitely weigh in on that. I thought that was a massive overpay. I think that's just a classic example of Tennessee looking at their quarterback situation. It's like, we think Will Levis has some talent, but we need to find out. We need to equip him with the level of weapons to really know. And it's what Jeremy's talked about before. When you have the really good quarterback, maybe you don't have to load him up with wide receivers. But when you don't think maybe the quarterback is elite, then you do have to load him up with weapons. And certainly now with Tony Pollard, Tajay Spears, DeAndre Hopkins, and Calvin Ridley, if Will Levis has anything, we're going to find out.
Yeah, that's the big thing to me. You could have had A.J. Brown and locked him up. And I think A.J. Brown is a better receiver than Ridley.
Yeah, in hindsight, they should have done
instead, you traded him away for a first-round pick to take a wide receiver that's been nothing short of a massive bust. And now you're going to do this and lock up Ridley where there might be questions about his dedication, his work ethic, his routes, things like that. Not handled very well by Tennessee, but now this is a new regime, a new general manager where you think they could straighten it out, they could get it better. It's a questionable signing to have that much money for that many years for a guy that hasn't shown that much on the field when he's been available on the field for all the indiscretions he's done. I wouldn't have done it. I'm surprised Tennessee did. Tennessee spent a boatload of money too. But when you look at it, I'm like, I'm not sure that he's a wide receiver one.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, he had over 1,000 yards last year with Jacksonville, but 1,000 yards in a 17-game season isn't nearly, I think, the mark that it used to be, especially not only because the season's longer, but because, you know, obviously the way the NFL game has transitioned into a more wide-open passing game, teams just pass it way more. I mean, the 1,000-yard rushing season means more than the 1,000-yard receiving season. I think Calvin really, I mean, he's a good receiver, but he's going into, I believe, his age 30 season. He looks okay, although even in that 1,000-yard season, it wasn't like there was a consistent level of play throughout the season that got to him 1,000 yards. It was like huge game, 5 weeks of nothing. So, I mean, I get the Titans' mindset of we need to equip Levis with weapons to find out if Levis is the guy, but I think they massively overpaid, and I don't think it's going to work.
I mean, you look at it, the simple thing from a Texans perspective is, do you take Nico Collins or do you take Ridley?
Oh, Nico Collins.
Yeah, 100%, right?
100%, yeah.
Yeah, that's just a no-brainer
to
me. So then it gives you twofold. One, they probably overpaid.
I would say so.
Two, the Texans better be ready to pay.
Yeah, and we will get into that later.
Will.
We will get into that later in the show, the direct comparisons from Nico Collins to a couple other guys that got big contracts this season. Calvin Ridley being one of them, Michael Pittman being the other. You want to quickly get into what we tease into the break or roll that over to the other side?
We can roll it over. Let's roll it over, and we'll get to that and a whole lot more. We've got a lot coming up on the show, as BMAC mentioned, and that always involves you guys. So we'll talk about, did the Texans accomplish D'Amico's mission statement of improving their defensive front, whether Armstead was a part of it or not, and their offensive running game. We'll get into that next. And we've got everything that leaves the door wide open for you guys to be a part of the conversation. 713-780-3776. You can call or text that number as we have much more of the Killer Bees. Before we go to break, I want to tell you about the good people at Allstate Siding and Windows. They are the best in the business when it comes to siding and windows. And the fact is, your house, for most of us, is your biggest investment. You want to protect that investment. Put a hard shell over the outside of it. You know that when you're in Houston, you're going to be dealing with things like hurricane season, all the excessive heat in the summer, and some cold spells in the winter. And you want to make sure that you're saving money on your energy bills and protecting your overall house for value. That's why you go to Allstate Siding and Windows, because with both siding and windows, they are the experts in the business. They've been in the business for almost 50 years. They take care of Houstonians on a daily basis, and they want to take care of you. Family owned and operated by Mary, Mike, and the family. Mary is the best. She handles everything back at the headquarters, and Mike gets out there like he did at my house, came to my house, told us how he was going to help him enhance everything with the windows. We got the windows. We could not be happier. First of all, it's a cosmetic upgrade that makes your house look modern and fantastic. But then knowing you could save up to 40% on your energy bills and all the different things they're going to do to protect you and what's inside your house just made it a no-brainer. They're absolutely fantastic. You need to check them out. And when you do, find out all the discounts and things they got going on. Like right now, 30% off on all windows, 24 months interest-free. Discounts for senior citizens, first responders, and military. Just call them, 832-204-1936, or connect with them at allstatewindowsandsiding.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're back with the Killer Bees, broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at the Decoy in Spring Branch. Here's Joel Blank and Brian McDonald.
Well, the eyes have it, because we are clearly the most intelligent and interactive sports talk show in Houston.
The most interactive.
And intelligent. Yeah, it's a double. We have the eyes. Okay, the eyes have it. All yes. Because certain people in certain shows.
If you were a wrestling fan, I would accuse you of stealing Kurt Angle's gimmick. But, I think the reference would be lost.
There's no thievery because of the fact that we've added on to give you the added value that you deserve. And therefore, with smart and intelligent interaction on every which way you try to reach out to us, we want your participation as well. So a couple questions for you going into this segment. We'll carry it for a couple, so get your feedback. But do you think the Texans have done a better job getting and improving the team? Are you good with where the team was, or do you think that they improved them and how significantly coming out of this free agent season? And then what do you think about overall the defensive line and D'Amico's mission statement to improve it? Job done, even though you lose Armstead with the guys you added, like Austin Al-Shair you added, but of course Danielle Hunter to Will Anderson Jr. I'm not going to attempt to say it, but the nose guard from Jacksonville.
Yeah, I was going to let you attempt that.
Yeah,
one.
Or do you like the defensive line that was pretty good for them last year? I'm curious what people think. I clearly think it was a huge upgrade and a win for D'Amico and this Texans team with Nick Caserio. I love what they did to change the game with their defensive line. I love the ability it is going to give D'Amico as a play caller to put pressure on the quarterback on every play. Yes, I'm curious if they still go out and get one more defensive tackle, whether, like you said, they do it in the draft and they get one of the two kids from Texas, or they've been interviewing and having guys come in still from other teams where they might entertain the thought of getting another interior defensive lineman.
Yeah, I think starting with, like, because we talked about this right when it happened, when D'Amico had the press conference after the season ended with the playoff loss to Baltimore, where D'Amico seemed to give away his strategy for the offseason. And we saw him do this in the Texans front office, do this the season before, where they talked about quarterback and they went out and did exactly what they talked about. So they don't seem to be shy about talking about their strategy in a truthful way. And what D'Amico said right away in that press conference in the season was, we want to prove the defensive front, because we didn't like how we looked in the on defense against the run, and then also improving the running game on the offensive side. The Texans did not run it very well against Baltimore in that playoff game. And look, we can obviously have a lot of different conversations about, you know, Joe Mixon, about what's next for the other defensive tackle beside D'Amico Autry, but certainly. Check, 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 check. D'Amico has exactly gone out and attacked all those positions. And I think, look, I would probably lean that I like Devin Singletary a little bit more than Joe Mixon, but it's not a big gap.
I don't.
I know, and you don't. It's not a big gap for me. So it's not like it's a massive problem either way. But I think across the board, you have to say the Texans identified their biggest needs and went out, attacked it, and improved it basically everywhere.
I think just simply, when you look at it, say, move by move. When we heard what Nick was saying, well, we don't have to spend all of our money in 1 year. We can spread it over a two-year window. Sorry, Jeremy.
Yeah, no window. Increment. Yeah. Two-year increment.
Increment. Then when you look at, well, after day one, when all the people that, you know, whether you saved it as receipts or not, there were tons of people that claimed to be super fans and bloggers and writers and podcasters losing their minds about the fact the Texans haven't done anything. It's disappointing. It's scary. Nick should go. He should be under fire. This is crazy. This is brutal. And now, not only have they, in my opinion, made the team better, But they've gotten some big names along the way, and they extended themselves more than a lot of people thought they would, including myself, when I didn't think they'd have a single guy in free agency go over $20 million a year. And then, lo and behold, they surprised everyone with the Hunter move. The Hunter move, to me, is similar to the Hader move with the Astros, where it took a little time, you didn't see it coming, and then, boom, it happened, and you're like, well, damn, I like that. I think that's a great move. And if we're looking at what they had as opposed to what they're now going to have, I think I'll take Hunter over Grenard for the long haul, for the short term, for the health of it, and go, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I wanted to get into. And I think across the board, it pretty much checks off as the Texans got better at each of these spots. We obviously had to look at Danielle Hunter versus Jonathan Grenard, and you and I are in agreement. I would obviously, Grenard is under contract for two more additional years past the 2 years Hunter will be here. But for the least the 2 years, I would definitely rather have Danielle Hunter rather than Jonathan Grenard. I would rather have Danico Autry over Sheldon Rankins. Obviously, I mean, Sheldon Rankins is a good player. He is a big part of the reason why they ranked six against the run last year. But Danico Autry, with his double-digit sack year last season, is going to provide the Texans, hopefully, we think, at least on paper, with far more interior pass rush than they've ever had from a true defensive tackle. And then the other two spots where you look at the possible
or Cashman and
yeah, Cashman versus Azeez Al-Shaair, and then obviously Joe Mixon, Devin Singletary. Maybe you can make a small argument like I do for Singletary over Joe Mixon, but when you look at those four spots where they swapped out somebody in free agency for a starter they had last year, I think you could say the Texans, or at least argue it, they improved across the board.
I think they did. I don't even, in my mind, it's a no-brainer that they got better at every one of those positions with every one of those guys. They improved. And not to take anything away from the year you got from Singletary, the year you got from Cashman, the year you got from Collins, the year you got from guys that, you know, when we were looking at this defense thinking this defense has got a whole lot to be, you know, to have to work on and improve on to try and be respectable. And instead, with the youth and the guys they brought in, they were effective. They were impressive. They did a lot of good things. But we took note of what D'Amico said, and I think that they checked every box to do exactly what he wanted, and that is improve across the board. Corner is another interesting position for me because I don't think that no matter what you think about Okuda, I think they're still looking at another corner that could be better on the other side, and maybe Okuda could be more of a nickel. But I think if they're able to do something with the corner, whether it be in the draft or whether it be with one more free agent move, I think you're talking about a defense that probably climbed 5-6 spots in terms of where they rank defensively. I think they could be top 15. They could scratch the door on top 10 or better. And I think, obviously, Armstead was a guy I really wanted.
Yeah,
but there's ways that you can overcome that.
He would have been certainly the player that would put them over the top. I think top 15 is almost a conservative estimate. If you were to tell me, like Garrett, like you were to say, Brian, I'll give you top 15, would you take that or would you take the unknown? I would take the unknown because I think even without Eric Armstead, they could be top 10 or, you know, possibly even better. I have a ton of faith in the guys that brought in. But the one glaring need, as you mentioned, is cornerback.
Yeah.
And certainly we'll get into that later when we get into our mock draft season.
Now, do you feel BMAC on D-tackle?
Okay.
They didn't get Armstead, obviously. Do they need another veteran, or are you good with just getting like someone out of the draft for depth? And then to kind of piggyback on that, and then the other question with the D-tackles is you have three significant pass rushers on your defensive line.
Right.
You have one really known run stopper, the guy they got from Jacksonville, the big F. But other than that,
We can't go with that nickname. We can't nickname him the Big F. Is he cousin of Big E? Or what are we going with here?
Is it? It's FF, right?
Okay. Anyway, moving on. What was your question?
So, you know, he's known as a run stopper.
Yeah.
Do you either just say I need another run stopper, I need a young guy for depth, or I just need a multifaceted player like some of the guys they're still bringing in to say I'm going to still upgrade that position?
Yeah, I would lean, if you're looking, I mean, obviously, ideally, you want someone that can do both, and that's why part of why Eric Armstead was so intriguing. But I think if you have to lean to run-stop specialist, pass rush specialist, if I'm making the pick, and it kind of goes to what I said earlier about Tavondre Sweat and the possibility of the Texans taking him in the second round, I would lean towards a run-stuffing specialist because, you know, Will Anderson Jr., obviously amazing player, defensive rookie of the year, but he's a little undersized for the mm-hmm. position. And Danico Autry, as a guy who a lot of times in Tennessee was an edge rusher, also a little bit undersized as a defensive tackle. So my one kind of, I don't want to call it a red flag, but the one thing I'm kind of keeping a sideways eye on right now is certainly the Texans have elite pass rushers right now along the defensive line. But they have, other than Hunter, to me, guys who are more pass rush specialists than run stopping specialists, and especially in a wide nine defense like they are, I have a little bit of concern about them stopping the run unless they go out and get somebody that's a run stopping specialist. So I would lean that way. And as far as to whether it should come out of free agency or the draft, I think defensive line is one of those positions where I don't mind putting a rookie in day one. You know, it's not quarterback, and obviously it still worked out fine with C.J. Stroud. We've always heard tight end is a very difficult position to learn for rookies. But defensive line, read your blocks, go out and stop the run, get to the quarterback. I don't mind sticking a rookie
out
there.
Just because you draft a rookie, you do have the depth to be able to say he's not going to have to start from day
one. Right, he doesn't have to play 100% of snaps.
Exactly. So there's still the possibility that there, you can have a young guy develop and learn and figure out the NFL game on the fly, but also while not being pressured into starting from day one. So I think that you still have the way to overcome that. But I think that they're focused. I really believe it goes back to some of the things that we've heard and guys we've interviewed already about the draft, that it's a very deep corner draft, and that maybe they're looking at, besides Okuda, that the other corner that they might be looking at to play a role on this defense this year is going to be coming out of the draft. They'll spend some extra money still on another defensive lineman, and then they'll be done with the defense for the most part, unless they want to add more backups and two deeps.
Yeah, and that's a conversation I think we could carry over to the other side of the break about, you know, what is left to do this offseason. I think it's clearly
some people think a receiver still has to be brought in.
Yeah, so let's have that conversation, because I definitely want to get into cornerback, but there's definitely a few things. Look, the defense overall is looking very good, but they're not done yet. This is not a finished product on the defensive side, and they definitely do have a few holes they need to fill before they get to the start of the season.
All right, we'll be back with more. You want to get in on the conversation, give us a call. We'll take calls even though we're live from the Decoy here in Spring Branch. We'd love to see you. There's all kinds of TVs with all kinds of basketball going on. Get some sand volleyball on tonight. Get your happy hour on. Lots of great things always happen in one of the best spots to kind of multitask and get all of that and more. It's the Decoy. It's the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at the Decoy in Spring Branch.
Hey, back on the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, 92.5 FM. Look, I want to tell you guys about my good friends at Vanderford Air. I've been telling you about them for quite a while. I'm going to tell you about them because they're great at what they do. If you know that the hot days are coming with the summer dog days here in Houston, and you need to be prepared with your HVAC system, no one takes care of your heating and air conditioning better than Vanderford Air, and they also do plumbing. So the bottom line is they're going to take care of all your needs. You've got something going on with plumbing and a water issue, pipe issue, they can handle it. You got something going on with your HVAC, your heating and air conditioning, whether it's a repair or a flat-out replacement, they can take care of it. But the best thing they're going to do, take care of you with 100% money-back guarantee all the way across the board. Absolutely fantastic. They take care of you in so many ways, but that's the one that means the most, because you want people that know what they're doing, and on top of knowing what they're doing, you want people that are going to do what they said they're going to do, and if they don't, they're going to be responsible for it. That's why you go to Vanderford Heating and Air Conditioning. Heating, air conditioning, and plumbing are such a big deal, and you need people that are going to guarantee their work. They're going to make sure that whatever they fix or whatever they put in works to 100% everything that you need. Get the right temperature. Get everything done the way you want it to. The absolute craftsmanship is done and installed in a way that you are okay with. And if anything goes wrong or anything you don't like, 100% money-back guarantee. 281-557-COOL or VanderfordAir.com. 281-557-2665. And before we get any further, Brian, look, we're at the Decoy. We love being here. They love having
us.
So
many TVs out here. You got to come and see us. Right off of I-10 on Woody Road.
It is absolutely fantastic because of the fact that if you want to get some exercise and you also want to have a few beverages, you can play some sand volleyball. You can come out here and hang out for that. But also because the tournament time is here now with conference tournaments and the big tournament coming up next week, I mean, what a great place to check out everything for March Madness. Next week, $19 buckets of Bud Light, $6 Casamigos shots. Saturday, One Shining Moment volleyball tournament. Push volleyball and cornhole leagues offered every day of the week. Court rentals are only $10 Monday through Wednesday in March. And for St. Paddy's Day coming up, it's going to be a throwdown. Cornhole tournament Saturday, awesome prizes. St. Paddy's, $3 green beer and $4 green teas. You have to get out here to the Decoy.
I mean, one of the things we're watching right now, one of their gigantic TVs, is the Houston Cougars absolutely dismantling TCU. It's currently 42-20, and Joel, you and I were watching this game before the show got started. TCU damn near went half of the first half without scoring a bucket. Without scoring a single bucket. They were like, I think they missed their first 14 field goal attempts. And so, I mean, obviously, spoiler alert, Jeremy will not be on the show tomorrow because Houston Cougars are going to coast to a win.
And they're going to play again, and that's what we like to hear. I mean, some people more ways than one. I'm not saying that about the show. I'm just saying from the standpoint we want the Cougs to go far and do well. But looking at it, a lot of times there's a letdown after TCU gets back, scores a bucket, gets back in the game where the Cougs will actually lighten up a little
bit. Yeah, especially if you've had a big lead, it's natural to take your foot off the gas, but they have not.
Instead, they're up 21. They're doing everything they're supposed to be doing. 13:28 to go in the second half. Shed's at the line. They're already up 21 points. Absolutely a fantastic opening round performance by a U of H team that, quite honestly, BMAC, they could have coasted. They could have just said, we've done everything we needed to do. We're going to be a one seed no matter what.
Right.
The number one overall seed's not important to us. We can just get healthy. Instead, at least for the opening game of the tournament, they are putting the pedal down and they are kicking some tail.
Absolutely. And one of the other things on the TV here at the Decoy, one of the other TVs, they have it on FS1, and we just saw Sam Acho named the Houston Texans as having the best offseason so far with their free agency moves over this week. Obviously high praise there. I don't know if you would qualify it as the best offseason so far. I definitely think it has to be considered to be up there. But despite that, there's some things to do in this offseason. Texans, as we talked about last segment, aren't a finished product. We talked about cornerback being a need. Maybe you could argue safety is a need as well, depending on what you think of Jimmy Ward. Certainly they need another starting defensive tackle next to Danico Autry. And on the offensive side, you know, who's your left guard? Maybe you could say the competition comes from Jarrett Patterson or Kenyon Green, if you believe there's still anything left with that former first-round pick. But they have the number 23 overall pick. You got a second-round pick. How would you rank those priorities going into the rest of the free agency in the NFL draft?
So I'm going to stay with what I've said all along, which I really believe that their first-round pick has to be spent on a defensive player. And I think that there's still plenty of guys to be considered, as you mentioned. I think Sweat might even be there in the second round, but I think that if you don't want to take chances, you could take a defensive lineman. This is a very deep corner draft, but I think you've got to find a corner in this draft for the long haul, regardless of what you think about for the upcoming season. And I think those two are priorities. I think the other thing is, as you get past the first round, that's where you just start filling holes and finding guys that could potentially be starters from you or you know, in your rotation highly from day one. I think receivers, something that you have to look at.
I should have included that as well.
It's a deep receiver draft. I think that that's one of the positions, aside from what you mentioned, that has to be considered, because I believe that, you know, regardless of whether you keep Woods or not, I think you could possibly upgrade with one of your receivers if you find the right receiver in the draft. And then the other thing is, as much as you got Mixon, I think you got to get deeper in the running back room too. I think you still need another guy that's going to carry some of the load, do some of the things that that a Bobby Slowick offense requires you to do. No matter what Damian Pierce does, and if he adjusts and possibly can fit in better next year or not, I still think they need another running back.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I'm with you. I would address defense in the first round, whether that be defensive lineman to, you know, a defensive tackle to put next to Danico Autry, or if it's a cornerback, I'd find either way letting best player fall to them from one of those two positions. Running back will be interesting because obviously you don't really need a starter, but how many teams in the NFL today go with one guy as the guy? Now, Texans kind of did it second half of last season. Devin Singletary became the guy where he got every single carry, and you would see at the end of the game the box score, Damian Pierce would have, like, one carry.
Yeah, but
like, they did that last year, but I don't think that's an ideal situation they would want to
put. It's just not a Casario move.
Right.
Well,
it's not a 49er-style move either.
Although Nick kind of did live dangerously when he knew Kenyon Green was going to get hurt at some point and really didn't have the backups on the roster when that all that went down. But I think running back's such an important position. You said that San Francisco, even in New England, they always had a stable of multiple guys. You know, injuries could happen. As much as I think, and you and I might disagree a little bit in terms of the overall value of Mixon, because he caught, 50 passes a year ago.
He is a good receiver.
Yeah, and that helps in the slow wake. What, God forbid if something happens to him, what do you have? I mean, you're not going to put Damian Pierce in the pass game.
You only have Damian Pierce. I think we all agree, and Texans included, he's not a fit.
So that's why they have to find another running back. They'd be wise to at least look at receiver.
I agree.
And then on the defensive side, we agree.
Corner,
I think safety needs to be addressed at some point.
Sure.
But I think the two main ones are going to be one more defensive tackle and one more corner, whether it's a corner that's going to be big picture for the long haul that you maybe can help this year, or you're just going to flat out say, I need a starting corner to go opposite of Stingley for the long haul. If Okuda ends up beating him out the first year, fine. But I need someone that's going to be kind of the anchor on the other side.
Yeah, I think, and tell me what you think about this, but I think of all, if any of these positions we've talked about with running back, wide receiver, safety, corner, defensive tackle, I think of any of these positions, if they went into the season with what they have now, I'd be most disappointed in corner. And to me, that kind of leads me to then make the point that corner, to me, is their top need. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you have to use a first-round pick on it, because as you said, cornerback is deep in this draft. But I think, to me, like, they have the biggest glaring need right now at corner. They cannot, in my opinion, go into the season. Derek Stingley, great, as your number one. You can't go into the season with Mike Ford and Jeff Okuda and some of these other guys as your or some of those other guys as your second corner and your slot corner. The defense would still be obviously a high-end defense either way, but to get where they want to go, I can't see them going into the season with what they have at corner right now. That's got to be, in my opinion, the top priority.
Look, I look at a guy that, if you're telling me you're getting Jeff Okuda coming out of the draft out of Ohio State,
who
was a top three pick,
right,
then I'm saying, okay, now I really like that. That's sexy, because there's a guy with talent that could be the other corner to Stingley for the long haul. But now you know that he failed, whether you say that was the old Lions and that was just a where players go to die kind of situation and he was not in the right system to win. But then he goes to Atlanta. He's okay. He's not much better. I'm not going to bank on that guy to be the replacement for Stevie Nelson when Stevie Nelson honestly played better than whatever you were paying him.
Yeah, absolutely. The final minute we have remaining, because we're going to get to the Astros next segment, we will certainly get back into the Texans later in the show. But I'm curious, there's a texter that texted in yesterday with Jeremy and I and asked if we would take the Texans as of right now versus the Texans at the beginning of the season last year. And to me, like, if you take the Texans roster now versus what they had week one in 2023, and not even including the natural development of a rookie quarterback and a rookie wide receiver in Tank Dell.
Or what Singletary turned out to be.
So not even including the natural progression and improvement of a player from year one to year two, I still think what they have right now on paper for this Texans roster that right now in 2024 would be at least a 6-7 point favorite against what they had on the roster on paper to start the 2023 season.
There's no doubt in my mind this is a better roster than you had going into last season. There's no doubt in my mind that no matter what kind of aspirations I had for this team going into the offseason and once free agency started, this has been better. What they've done has been impressive. Their ability to kind of manipulate the system to get what they need, get rid of what they didn't want, find guys that are better than what they had, and now before we even get into the draft, realize they're filling starting positions with upgrades in quality at almost every one of them. Now you're adding depth at running back, depth at receiver, instead of needing someone that has to be the end-all, be-all. You still have the ability to get a first-ranked corner or add depth to the defensive line. But when you have three guys on your defensive line that can be double-digit sack guys, you've done better. I just feel like they've upgraded in so many ways that's encouraging for me that I have a lot more trust right now in the Texans coaching staff and Nick Caserio staff than I did even starting free agency.
Yeah, absolutely. And we will definitely get back into the Texans before the end of the show. I know we want to talk about Nico as compared to Michael Pittman and a few other things. We'll get into some mock drafts. But next, you want to talk about our confidence in some of these Astros players?
Yeah, let's look especially at the bullpen, because the bullpen's been one thing. We know what the back end's going to be.
Oh, I've got a thought on your boy Mashinsky.
Yeah, I see that. because he's maybe I can't call him
Hunter anymore.
You
maybe can't call him Hunter anymore. Yeah, you might have to use his real first name.
What do you want to see from your Houston Astros? And let's talk about some of the players that have and have not performed in spring training, and if you're concerned, and how they work their way into what could be the absolute rotation of go-to guys in the bullpen. That'll start hour number two of the Killer Bees. Before we do that, I want to tell you about my good friend Doc Linville. Talked to him the other day. Saw him. He was telling me about PRP. He was telling me about, hey, whether you do the NeoGraft or not, there's also other options for you to get help for your hair. It doesn't always have to be what I did with the NeoGraft, but the PRP is fantastic because it also can kind of like fertilize your lawn, so to speak. It can give you extra juice in your hair follicles that will get them to be their absolute best, stronger, thicker, showing better results, and giving you a better hairline and a lot more hair just by going to Doc Linville. Check him out today. Go to 975hair.com. You can get a free consultation with Doc and his staff. It normally costs $150. You listen to us, you get it for free by going to 975hair.com. And then you get to check out Doc and his staff. Ask the questions. Get the answers. Find out why so many people have been so happy after seeing Doc and getting a procedure or a PRP. Because it works. Because you see the results. Because at the end of the day, you end up with hair again, and you feel great. You absolutely have more self-confidence, and you see more coverage. It's absolutely been a game changer for me. It can be that way for you, too. Check out 975hair.com and go see my friend, Doc Linville.
ESPN 97.5.